Hey there, welcome back to the Etsy Seller Podcast. I'm your host, Cody McGuffey, and today we have a awesome, inspiring, very cool and relatable episode with Anoush about her story of being a serial entrepreneur for many years, losing her business during COVID, starting all over with an Etsy shop, and how she is marching back towards having that life of her dreams. Very cool episode. She went from zero sales into over 530 sales plus just in 8 or 9 months. $10,000 in her first 3 months. Very cool and inspiring story. She specifically talks about how she uses Everbee for research, but also she uses Everbee email in order to build a lasting relationship with her customers, which is not something that people talk about enough. So important. She dives into how she does it. Here's a clip from today's show.
Because when I look at Etsy and I look at, you know, my niche, I see newcomers, and it's great, because the more there are going to be those kind of sellers on Etsy, the more the Armenian community is going to flock to Etsy to buy stuff. So I'm very happy when I see those new shops. So if we can build something that becomes a trend, so that's one thing. Even if I'm not in the top 1% or 0.1%, but if I'm in the top 10%, that's already great. Just the fact that I am in front of 89% instead of being in front of 60% where I was 6 months ago, that for me is huge.
As always, this podcast is brought to you by Everbee, and we believe that everyone deserves the opportunity to pursue their passions and live life on their own terms. We believe in making e-commerce accessible to everyone in the world, no matter where you are, and using it to make a positive impact on our personal families and in our communities. Everbee is the e-commerce business platform that helps e-commerce entrepreneurs, online sellers, Etsy sellers find winning products, optimize their products, listings, grow their business into something that they're very, very proud of. Sign up for free, everbee.io. Let's jump into today's show. Welcome. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm really, really excited about the conversation today.
Thank you for having me.
Totally. How did we get here? I think we got here because we reached out. We noticed that you were doing great in your shop. Usually we have this type of, our team tries to identify top, you know, traction shops, and we want to understand what is working for you. A lot of our sellers want to understand, I'm sorry, a lot of our listeners want to understand, you know, how to get their first one sale or first 100 sales. You've done both of those things very well, times many more. How did you?
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
The first buyer was, of course, somebody from my friends or family, I don't remember, because I think that's the only way to get there. How did I start, or why did I start Etsy? Well, I have been a client of Etsy's for a long, long time. And when I got married in 2020, I bought a lot of stuff from Etsy. And in 2023, unfortunately, my company shut down, the one that, you know, I am an entrepreneur. I was an entrepreneur, and my school shut down in 2023. Mostly due to COVID, because the economic, you know, circumstances of being a language school changed a lot, and I had to shut down. So that was in January of 2023. And, you know, I thought, what am I going to do now? And I thought, if I can buy from Etsy, it means people are selling on Etsy. How do I do that? That was the first thing that got me there. And the second thing is that I very much like interior design, and I have done a lot of bone china painting in my day, like 20 years ago. So I think I have a little eye for design, and I thought, well, I can try. But I started with the digital art at the very, very beginning, and it didn't work. So then I did templates, and that didn't work either. The only sales I did were to my friends and family. But that got me interested in the process, and I started digging more into what I would be able to do and what I would be interested in doing. And that's how I really started. So I shifted from digital to print on demand. That's how I got started.
Wow. And so you started, it sounds like you started in January of 2023. Is that correct?
I started in April of 2023.
Wow. So it's only been 8 months, 9 months?
Right. Almost okay. A year, but not there yet.
And I already know the answer to this, but for anybody listening, how many shop total sales do you have in that 9 months, 8 months?
Just over 530.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
How does that feel?
I don't know. I'm very happy, of course. I know a lot of people are struggling to get to those numbers, but you know, you cannot help but watch other sellers on YouTube and seeing what they have achieved and comparing yourself or myself and seeing that I'm far from their numbers, but they are the exception. I know they're not the rule. I'm just trying to get there. That's the focus and the aim.
What does there mean to you?
There would be in terms of numbers or in terms of revenue, sure. You know, well, to make a full-time living out of it, which is obviously not the case now. But if I could get to something around 10K a month, that would be great to start. Mm-hmm. And more, obviously.
Do you believe that that's possible?
Yeah, I do.
Tell us why. Tell me more. Tell me why you believe that.
Well, I managed to do 10K in 3 months, but that was Q4. So if it's possible, then anything is possible. It's just a matter of, you know, putting my head down, working hard, understanding what needs to be done, finding the right designs, the right products, the right clients, so the right SEO. I mean, it's a whole thing. It's not just one thing. It's really a full, you know, it's putting the head down and working hard. I think it's possible. Why not?
I completely agree with you. If it's possible for somebody else, why couldn't it be possible for you?
Absolutely.
How did you get to Everbee, and like, how do you use Everbee to do what you've done so far? Like, do you use it? How's that work?
Yes. I use it a lot for emails, for email marketing. I use it a lot, but obviously I started with Everbee long before the email thing. Well, because, you know, scouring the internet or YouTube, I saw a lot of people talking about Everbee. So I had to try, which I did. It was very helpful. Thank you for being there. And I must say that the email thing has been grand, because that allowed me to, you know, to work even more, even better. I was working with MailChimp beforehand. I do use MailChimp for a totally different business I have, but it's not as comfortable because it's not linked at all to Etsy. There's no integration. So this Everbee integration with Etsy, even though we cannot send emails to our clients anymore, but still, it's very helpful for the landing page or for campaigns or for linking our products. I mean, it's so easy to use because it's still integrated with Etsy, even though, you know, something has changed. But the most important thing, which is the ease with which I can just create a campaign, be it an auto campaign or a single campaign, and you know, the little things I can use just to put my shop name in or my product. Amazing. And which one I want, and it's the newest, the latest, or a line if it's three or two or one. It's so easy and so
Thank you for that feedback. That's amazing. I mean, thank you for that. That's literally, I can't wait to send this podcast to my team, to our email team specifically, because they will love hearing all this.
No, it's thank you very much for having, you know, come up with that. And I know your team is very efficient. And when this whole Etsy no more email debacle, you know, came up, you know, you guys really very, very quickly shifted and managed to explain how we can still use Everbee easily and how this is going to be. And I, for example, when was it yesterday? I got an order from a guy who, thanks to the mailing list and thanks to the landing page, because I have a code, a special code for people who register or subscribe, sorry, to the mailing list. And my code is very specific. And he made a purchase, when was that? Yesterday evening. So, yeah, because he first made a purchase, a normal one as a guest, maybe from an ad or organic, I don't know. And then I saw that he used that code the very same day. So, which means that he jumped into the emailing list. He subscribed and he got the code and he used it the same day. So, you know, this is something that obviously without you guys, I couldn't have had, because I was far from being able to, or far from being courageous enough to tackle, you know, it's not easy. For young people, it's easy. For people my age, it's not that easy. You know, I'm from the Facebook era. So all this technology is not foreign to me, but just the thought of having to go to AWeber or MailChimp and set it up, and that was daunting. So this, what you did, is so helpful for people like me, my generation maybe, or people just like me, and it's so easy. And just when I saw that he used that code yesterday, I thought, oh, thank you. Thank you, Cody. Thank you.
No, thank you for honestly, that feedback is so critical for us. It's a dream come true for us to build a product and people actually use the product and actually get value out of the product. And then if it creates revenue for you, it created $5 for you and money that you probably wouldn't have had. That is literally like a dream come true for us. We think about that all the time, especially when we create opportunities to make you more money. We already know we're going to win somehow. Like, we'll make money somehow down the line by somehow something. But as long as you are making more money, it becomes very easy for everybody else to win. It's really cool. So thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Unreal. Okay. So 0 to 500 in sales, 8 months. Did you decide to do the trend, chasing like the trend designs, or did you target a niche? How did you think about this for somebody that's never done this before from zero sales? What would you advise them?
Trend chasing. I tried. Honestly, I tried. But the trends out there are not my style. They are not. When I look at those shops that I envy and I look at what they sell, I wouldn't be able to do or to replicate what they're doing, because it's absolutely not my taste at all. Mm-hmm. It's really not something that I would be able to do because I don't like it. So chasing trends is not something I will be able to do, even though that's maybe the only way I could make those 10Ks a month. But it's not something that I feel comfortable, and they do it so much better than I could ever do it, because, you know, they found a niche, or they found a design or an idea. And chasing trends is not going to be possible for me, because really those trends I don't like. I don't like their designs. So it's very difficult to replicate something you don't like. So what I do, obviously, is I use Everbee to find not trends, but maybe numbers. This is really important to know, you know, how many people are looking for what I would like to design. And if there's a sufficient number, then I'll go for it. But I must say that, well, first of all, talking about niches, it's because Scott and Chris hammer it in. And, you know, I listen to them religiously. I know it's important to have a niche, but at the same time, I don't want to get cornered into something and not be able, my shop is not old enough to be cornered into something that, you know, I want to be able to offer. Well, first of all, I have two main niches in my shop. I don't have just one. I don't have just the interior decoration, the home decor. I also have this Armenian niche, because I'm of Armenian descent. And there, I have a lot of, you know, and I think I'm also emulating people, because when I look at Etsy and I look at, you know, my niche, I see newcomers. And it's great, because the more there are going to be those kind of sellers on Etsy, the more the Armenian community is going to flock to Etsy to sure. buy stuff. So I'm very happy when I see those new shops. They're wow. doing things that are different from me, thank God, but they're not copying me. But, you know, the more there are, the more the clients will come to Etsy to buy stuff from us. So that's awesome. That's one of
what
my
cool
niches.
Mindset you have, Anoush. Like, thank you. That is such a cool abundance mindset versus, oh, I'm afraid of the competition coming in. So many people think this way.
Nope.
They're very afraid when they see this. They think very scarcity, and you're choosing to see opportunity, see abundance, I think.
Because
so, hats off to
we
you
have to track those. You know, the customers are there. They want to buy. They want to buy. So we have to make them come to Etsy. I don't think they can find it on Amazon or eBay. So they have to find it somewhere. So they are not many, maybe, but, you know, it's a trend. So if we can build something that becomes a trend, then more for us. So that's one thing. And so I don't want to chase trends, because I don't think I can do it, not as well as the other ones. I just want to be there and not build not be an authority, but, you know, be somebody that's there. Even if I'm not in the top 1% or 0.1%, but if I'm in the top 10%, that's already great. You have so many people behind you or in front of you. So the figure itself, or the percentage itself, is not important. I don't know how accurate it is, but what I do see is that percentage changes over time. You know, so just the fact that I am in front of 89% instead of being in front of 60% where I was 6 months ago, that for me is huge. That means progress.
Big time.
So that's right. What's important.
I love that. Can we go back to your backstory a little bit?
Of course.
You said you're an entrepreneur. You've been an entrepreneur for a while. How many years? And what was your first go, second go?
Okay, so the first time I was an entrepreneur was in the 80s. Oh, it makes me, oh my God, I'm so old. Anyway, I had a chain of shops in Switzerland, where I am from originally. And with my husband, we were selling interior decor, you know, home decor stuff, amongst other things. And we were not a niche shop. We were more of a general store, but okay. tasteful things. And we were very successful. And unfortunately, in the early 90s, there was the first Kuwaiti war, the first Gulf War. And Geneva being a place where the Kuwaitis, you know, they used to come and, you know, bank with the Geneva. They were shut out. The Kuwaitis couldn't come anymore and take their money. So that was a problem. That was a very big mistake from the Swiss banks. They didn't repeat it when the second Gulf War started, but, you know, that was something which really drove the Swiss economy in the gutter for some time, and it lasted for some time. So the kind of shops that we had with my husband were not sustainable in a crisis environment. So that was the first, you know, time that I had to shut down something. But I was working in the financial services industry in Geneva, so I was not totally, you know, lost financially. But that was the first enterprise that I had. And then the second one was when the credit crunch hit. Since I was working in the financial services industry, I lost my job, like a lot of people. So I had to, you know, I had young children at that time. My kids were 8 and 12, something like that, give or take. So I had to do what I knew. What else did I know? I could teach French, because I do speak English, and there was a lot of expats in Switzerland at that time, a lot. So I was teaching French, and I made a business out of it. And that lasted for 15 years. And I took it from being a sole French teacher to becoming a large language school. And we were teaching, I had 100 teachers, and we were teaching all over Switzerland. and then COVID hit. So that was in 2020. But the landscape changed totally, because first of all, we had to shut down the physical teaching. We had to, you know, jump onto the virtual teaching. That was not an issue at all, at all. That was not the problem. The problem is that people realized they didn't have to hire Swiss teachers anymore, Swiss paid teachers anymore, because we are expensive. Switzerland is a super expensive country. And they could find teachers for as low as $3 an hour for the same teaching. So why would they hire a Swiss teacher, yet they could find somebody else to teach them French, maybe just as well and way cheaper? So that was the end of it. But it took about two years for them to realize that, 2-3 years for them to realize it. So when the economy came, you know, picked back up after COVID, or the one we shouldn't name, the disease we shouldn't name, people were just flocking to cheap teachers around the world, and they didn't need us anymore. So that was the end of it.
What was that? I'm sorry to hear that, by the way. When you dedicate your life to something for so long, 15 years, and it kind of comes to a halt for something that's kind of out of your control, I'm sure that took a big toll mentally, obviously financially, it probably was a huge toll as well. How did you overcome that? Like, financially, what position were you in when you decided to start an Etsy shop, or you started to start an online business or e-commerce? I'm sure that you considered lots of things before coming to the e-commerce. Like, explain to us that situation.
Well, financially, it was very hard. It still is, because I still am not making a full-time revenue from Etsy. But I managed. And so I'm making, you know, with what I have, I have to. I have to make the most of what I have. And I don't have any kind of profit from Etsy at the moment, because what I make in sales, I need to pay, you know, Printify or whoever else I'm working with. I pay for ads as well, and I pay for all the apps and software that I use on the sidelines, like Everbee or E-Rank or others that I need to make this a shop work. But I make it work because I have to, because I believe in it.
I love that. When do you think that you will be able to like turn that profit? And you've had experience now, you've had experience. So how are you thinking about this? Because a lot of times people think they can just start a shop today and they'll be profitable tomorrow. How do you view it from an experienced entrepreneur?
It takes time. It takes time because first of all, at the moment, I'm still on a learning curve, or, you know, I'm still learning. There's a lot of things to learn, designing software, just even using Canva. I mean, I had to learn. I didn't know Canva. Of course, it's an easy tool. There are others, or Photopea, or whatever, you know, but I have to learn, which is what is so easy for somebody of a younger generation. It's not that it's hard. It's not what I'm saying. It's just that, you know, it's all these things that I have to learn and acquire and manage and master to become good at it. It's not just, you know, and having the eye for it. The only thing I think I'm good at is I have an eye. So I can see if something is good or not, or if something is going to work or not. Not in the sense, is it going to be popular and is it going to sell? No. But, you know, for example, I had an order today and I worked half an hour on that design to make sure the placement was perfect, because I want my clients to be happy. So when they come back with a complaint, it's very disheartening, because I really put my heart and soul into it. So when they come back with a complaint, I feel really bad. And I did get 1-star reviews, and that really was awful, awful. I really took it really hard.
What's the goal for I think you mentioned it a little bit, like $10,000 right. a month or something like this. Or what is your goal? Is that kind of like the first level
that's,
one goal?
That's the first step. Right.
Beautiful. And what's the ideal like in the future? Are you looking to like build a brand out of this, like where you have your own website?
Of course.
And you're actually using Etsy and your website.
I don't have a website at the moment. Yeah, yeah. The next step is going to have to hop onto Shopify. To have a standalone shop maybe one day on its own as may, but I don't know, but to get onto Shopify, that's for sure. I'm going to get there when I'm ready, which means when I'm comfortable with Etsy, when I am where I want to be with Etsy, meaning that I have mastered something. Is it the SEO? Is it the design? Is it the clientele? Is it the ads? I don't know what it is, but you know, when revenue becomes more consistent, then I would say when I know Etsy, I can hop onto another platform. And I also heard that Shopify is going to do something like create a market as well. I think they want to become like Etsy.
They already have.
Right.
Yeah, they
exactly.
already have actually called Shopify.
Yes. App. And so which means that they might bring their own traffic to Shopify instead of us having to bring it. And when they do, that's when I want to hop in, you know, and be there as well, because Etsy is holding the knife by the, you know, as we say in French, they're holding the knife by the, I don't know how you call it, that part where you hold, and we are holding the knife from the other end. That's why it's so difficult for us. They're holding the knife on the good side, you know, from the good end, and we have to hang on to the other side of the knife, and it's very hard for sellers. Because they put us in a very difficult situation where we never know, you know, am I going to come to my shop tomorrow morning and is it going to be open or not? That kind of feeling I have all the time, you know, when are they going to ban me? When are they going to shut me down? What wrong am I doing? Yeah. And that is a situation which is very hard. It's not sustainable in the long run to feel, you know, always on the edge of my seat.
Vision.
So I want to go to...
I love your vision.
Yeah, to another platform where I feel less maybe jeopardized.
Sure, I think you want both, right? That's why I love your vision so much. It's like, it's very methodical, meaning the chances of being shut down on Etsy is pretty slim if you're doing things the right way, but it is always there. It's always there. And now, so you want to get traction there because you don't want to spread yourself too thin. And then you, as you get traction there, then you have it open up a standalone shop. Naturally, 100% of your sales will come from Etsy, but eventually it'll be 5% over here from your Shopify,
right,
from your website, and then it'll be 10%. And eventually you start to like, you build a brand, and then that brand can potentially be like 95% would be totally from yourself. And then you rely on these marketplaces such as Etsy or Amazon or Walmart or whatever else there is. They're sales
right.
channels at this point, but now you, nothing can shut you down.
Exactly.
Nothing can take your
exactly.
revenue from you. If I were to make a claim right now, every single person should be thinking about their shop like this. You know, this is how they should be thinking about the vision for their store, is they should be thinking like this.
Long term.
Yeah. Sneak peek. I probably shouldn't even talk about this yet, but we're going to be building Everbee Store, it's going to be, the same solution. It's like a similar problem that we're going to be solving as Shopify, and a more simplistic approach built for print on demand sellers, digital sellers, specifically built for our audience. Way too early to talk about this. Hope I don't regret talking about it now.
Lips are sealed.
Yeah, except for everybody's going to listen to this. But it is a thing, and it's actually, we have a team building it right now. It's happening. It's going
to
happen for sure.
And will it generate its own traffic, or will we have to bring the traffic?
Great question. At the moment, we planned on it being your own standalone website, meaning like you'd be responsible for the traffic. It's more for that, like the scaling type of entrepreneur. Like they built Etsy and now they're trying to scale like through Facebook ads and all this other stuff. To be determined, though. It sounds like that's pretty important to you. That will put us in a weird spot with Etsy if we did it this way, because we actually have a good relationship with Etsy. to where we can't compete directly against them.
True.
Or we don't want to. Not that we can't. It would just put us in a weird spot. But interesting to think about.
Because Printify tried. They have their. They also have that section where you can have those pop-up stores as well on Printify pop-up shop. I don't know how well it's working. I know that.
Yeah, I don't know either.
You know, as long as you have to, as I have to bring traffic to that place, that I'm not there yet.
I don't think you're there yet. Yeah, it's not that you won't be there. It's just like you're not there in your journey yet, because you'll naturally, as soon as you start to carry like $5,000 a month, $10,000 a month from your Etsy shop, pretty soon you're just like, oh, I have a lot of customers here. I can start pushing more
somewhere else,
or maybe remarketing to them somewhere else. And it seems easier this way. If you do both at the same time, nothing will be successful. It's just too hard. Amazing. How much revenue have you generated in the last 8 months? Since starting. So I know you have 530 sales. How much revenue?
Roughly $11,000, give or take.
Congrats. Thanks. And pretty soon that'll be $100,000. Very soon. It will. It will be. Anoush, this has been fun. We could talk obviously all day. Where can people find you, learn more from you, connect with you? Do you even have an option for that?
Well, they have to come to my shop on Etsy and type the name of my shop. They can find me anytime.
Would you like us to link to your
shop? That would be awesome. Thank you. Obviously.
Okay, we will, for sure. Also, how about I occasionally have people on the podcast or in the Facebook group, or somebody messaged me and they ask, hey, do you know any other like-minded entrepreneurs or like-minded Etsy sellers that are trying to grow their shop too, that I can connect with, just like to be friends with?
By all means, please.
Are you looking for something?
Why not?
Like,
I'm always happy to talk to fellow sellers or fellow entrepreneurs. Why not? With pleasure.
Okay, cool. Then I'll make some connections. Do your own due diligence, of course, for anybody listening to this. But the idea is that I think we lack community and we lack connection with other like-minded people. So that's maybe, with that being said, would you want to send us an email? Like, want me to drop your email address for people to reach out to you?
Absolutely.
To connect also?
No, absolutely. With great pleasure, because it's true. It's a very solitary endeavor, this building an Etsy shop, because you listen to a lot of people. I feel like I know them, like Scott, Chris, or the other coaches I follow. I have the impression I do know them, but still, it's a very solitary road to be on. So being able to connect with other people who are on the same path, that would be awesome.
Okay, cool. What email address should we send them to?
Any. The one you have on file for Everbe is fine.
Let's look what that is. That is anoush.karman
at
gmail.com.
You have that one?
A-N-O-U-C-H-E period. K-A-R-A-M-A-N @gmail.com. For last note, I'm always curious about this. How would you define, Anoush, how would you define an entrepreneur?
Somebody who is able to work independently. I mean, on his own. Because that takes, I think, a certain kind of mindset to be able to think, on your own and stand on your two feet without having to depend on anybody else. Of course, I can have all the information I want from the internet, and I did, and I'm still using it a lot, but I'm still on my own behind my computer. There's nobody else I can ask. I have to find it on my own. But I like one saying from Confucius. How do you pronounce his name in English? Confucius. Confucius, you know, the Chinese philosopher. He says when the student is ready, the master appears. And I love that saying because it's true every day. You know, when I'm looking for something, it pops up. I find it, or it's sent to me, or God sends it to me. I don't know who, but I get it. I get the information. And I realize that I get the information when I'm ready for it. So maybe I heard it before, but I wasn't ready for it. So I didn't hear it properly, but now I can hear it. So that is awesome because, you know, it's such a learning process. Every day I have to learn something new. But I have to find the information. It's not just learning. It's also having the information that I learn from. So, yeah, I think that's one thing that an entrepreneur really needs. It's the mindset to dig deeper, not just do, not just execute, because of course you have to do a lot of, you know, there's a lot of grunt work in the, you know, creating listing and doing the SEO and finding the keywords. That's what I call the grunt work, but that's not all. You have to dig deeper. And nobody's there to hold your hand to do it.
Nobody's coming to save you. Very interesting. Anish, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for providing all the value that hopefully all of our listeners, I know they got a lot of value out of this. So thank you for coming on. We'll have to have you on again, maybe 6 months, 12 months from now.
With great pleasure.